Let us pray. Lord God, speak to us, we pray, that we may hear your voice and respond accordingly. May we have faith to believe what we hear and to act upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I wonder what all of these men that you hopefully will see on the screen in a moment have in common. If we go to the second slide, so there we go. So you've got Roger Moore, Daniel Craig, Tom Cruise, you've got Rocky, and you've got Harrison Ford. All these are men of what? What word might you fit there?
Action.
All men of action. Now you may wonder why I've put these five men up on the screen today. There is a sense, as we reflect for a few moments on Nehemiah and that reading from the Old Testament today, there is a sense, and the link between these five and Nehemiah is that Nehemiah too was a man of action, very different to the five men up there who we see sometimes on our cinema screens. That's probably where the comparison ends between them. But Nehemiah was a man of action, a man willing to do what God wanted of him. And I want to explore in our time of reflecting this morning seven aspects of Nehemiah's life based on many parts of the book of Nehemiah. And the first is that Nehemiah was a man of responsibility. In the very first chapter of Nehemiah, we are told that he was a cupbearer for the king. Now, a cupbearer had great responsibility. He had close access to the king, and therefore it was easy for him, more often than not it was a him, it would have been easy for him to be a target if anybody wanted to poison the king, get rid of the king. The cupbearer was the man to go and see, because they could put poison in the cup of the king. So there was great responsibility for anyone who might want to take on such a role. The king would have had to trust this person implicitly, and that relationship would have to be built up over a long period of time for that trust to be in place. And we, like Nehemiah, are called to be people of responsibility. Whereas the cupbearer, his role, very few people had. It was one person predominantly that acted as cupbearer to the king. He was trusted, as we've said. He had a very close relationship with the king. And I think that is key to how this responsibility played out. That he had that close relationship, that trusting relationship with the king. He had that gift of being able to speak to the king and interact with him. And I think that is really important, that closeness of relationship, as we think about this responsibility that we have before God, which I think fits in with the 1 Corinthians 12 reading. That responsibility that God gives to us in making us prophets and priests and teachers, workers of miracles, and that list as we heard earlier. And as we think about missional partnerships, a dreaded word to some of us, and one filled with hope for others. And as that day of the commissioning of the missional partnerships locally comes to bear, knowing what our gifts are, Knowing how close that relationship with God has to be is vital as we think about how we might continue the work of building God's kingdom here on earth. So Nehemiah was a man of responsibility. Secondly, he was a man of prayer. The first chapter of Nehemiah is entitled Nehemiah's Prayer. And he comes to God. The very beginning of his ministry, his work that is documented in this letter, in this book, is Nehemiah praying to God. Is that the first thing that we often think about doing? Coming to God in prayer. And again in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, in the presence of the king as well, he bursts into spontaneous prayer before the king. And Nehemiah's prayer, there's three parts to it: praise, confession, and intercession. And in that interceding, he is praying for God's people, Israel. And I think this is an apt aspect of Nehemiah's life. As I invited us on the first Sunday of this year, to take this year to be a year of prayer as we think about our church, its mission, its outreach, God's priorities, God's agenda, can only be discerned through prayer. And it's apt today that we've had the prayer day yesterday here in this church. People coming for virtually constant prayer in this place between 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock. People from across our missional partnership coming together to pray for God's guidance and direction, as well as God showing us what our gifts are. And that's what the prayer zone to my left here is about, is asking God to show us what our gifts are, that we may use them for his glory. And I firmly believe that prayer is vital as it underpins all we do as a church. And we will see spiritual transformation when we commit wholeheartedly to pray for God's people in this place. Thirdly, Nehemiah was a man of vision. Many of us may know that Nehemiah was known for rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And for approximately 140 odd years, the walls were destroyed. They were but piles of rubble. And the walls played a very important role in the life of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. They showed riches, they showed protection, they showed power. And yet for so long, they'd been just piles of rubble. And Nehemiah realized this, that this showed really, in some ways, that God's people were weak and feeble and frail. And he set out on a task to rebuild the walls of the city. And we're told in 52 days, he rebuilt the walls of the city. As I read those words, I think, oh, I wish work on this church took so little time. I think about 6 months to do the roof works, how I long for it to have taken 52 days. But Nehemiah had the faith. He had the vision. He had the relationship with God, that he knew God could make a difference. When God's people came together, and Nehemiah rallied the people to rebuild the walls of the city. And they were following directly where God was leading, and God was faithful to him, i.e. Nehemiah, and to God's people. And I think there's examples in our life today as a church where God has shown us clearly where we should be going. And things have happened and taken place. The Summer Holiday Club last year, when we had a number of young children in this very space, in the hall and on the field at the back, that came together with the help of the people that came together to make that work. More recently, the Bamford and Norden Dementia Friendly Cafe is another example of a seed of a thought and a hope that I think Kath Atkinson originally had. To come together. And again, the people, you have come together. And that has taken place. We've had two, and as Simon referred to earlier in the notices, our third Dementia Friendly Cafe will be this Friday. And a final example would be the prayer day yesterday. It would be fair to say that there was some anxiety over whether that prayer day would happen. And it did. And it went well. And people came together to pray for their church, for our church, and for our working together as churches. These are just three examples that came to mind as I was preparing of the way God's people have worked together to show others the love of God. Fourthly, Nehemiah was a man of action, as we've said, and cooperation. And he managed to get the people together to rebuild the walls of the city. He couldn't physically do it all himself. He needed to get people together to do that work with him. And in many ways, it was nothing short of a miracle of God that those walls were rebuilt in the time scale in which they were. Having been given that vision, Nehemiah set to work, got the people together, and got those walls rebuilt. And I think when we think about that in terms of mission, mission can seem so hard, so difficult, so costly, so time-consuming. When we hear depressing stories of church decline, and how do we stem that loss, that hemorrhaging of people and indeed ministers as well? But it might sound simple, but I wonder if in Nehemiah we have a blueprint for how we can take on that mammoth task. We have to be people of responsibility and prayer and vision and action and cooperation as we work together to build God's kingdom here on earth. But I don't believe we can do that on our own in isolation. That's what excites me about the work of missional partnerships. That together we can work together as brothers and sisters in Christ to advance the kingdom, to advance those walls of God's kingdom and God's church, so that we can go beyond where we are into the future that God has for us. So we have to be people of action and cooperation. Fifthly, Nehemiah was a man of compassion. If you remember what I read in those words, he shared the abundance of food he had access to. He acknowledged the need of other people, and he wanted to share that food with them, especially those that were less fortunate than himself. God has a heart for the poor, the dispossessed, the marginalised, and those who are ignored in the world today. I met with a friend this week to discuss street pastors. And he was telling me about the way the churches in Oldham, or some of the churches in Oldham, are working together with homelessness being as it is. The churches in Oldham wanted to do something in the cold winter months to help those that were sleeping in shop doorways and in back alleys and in many and varied places. And the churches came together, and seven different churches take a night in the week to host up to 15 homeless people. And they started that in January, beginning of January. The most they've had in one night is 13 men who would, without that coming together, that cooperation, that compassion, that heart for those who are suffering, those men would have slept in shop doorways. But those churches have taken compassion on those homeless people. And each night of the week, they are taken by minibus or car to one of seven churches where they are able to get food, remain in the warmth and get fed before going about their daily duties. And I believe Kath Atkinson is involved in a similar charity in the centre of Manchester as one of her placements for her ministry training. That is, again, churches working together to show the compassion of God to those who are suffering and who have less than we do. And we as a church are involved in those things. The food bank, the box down to my left here, that we collect food for the food bank. We've got people involved in street pastors. We have our annual projects. We support Christian Aid. All ways of showing that love and that compassion and that heart of God. Sixthly, we have Nehemiah as a man who triumphed over opposition. Nehemiah, having shared his vision, had some people who were in opposition to it. This brings me great heart, because the church is just the same today. We have people who are unsure about certain things, not in this church, obviously, but in other churches I've been involved in. Opposition. Don't know why people are laughing. Opposition. There is sometimes a real fear in the direction in which we travel. And in chapter 4, if you're following on page 487, one of the headings there is opposition to the rebuilding. People were opposed to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 6, the heading is further opposition to the rebuilding. And I ask this question with fear and trembling. Hands up if you've heard of opposition within the church. Hands up if you've heard of negativity within the church. And we need to be open and honest to those conversations, those feelings, those anxieties. And I think sometimes it's inbuilt into us to focus on the negative rather than the positive. And we're all guilty of it, myself included. We oppose something because we don't think it will work. As Noah built his ark back in Genesis, people wondered, what on earth is he doing? Building an ark so far from water. Or we hear, it hasn't worked in the past. And all those different things. And sometimes God can be doing something new. And we need to catch that wave and surf that wave with God as he shows us the direction in which we are called to sail with him. And seventhly and finally, Nehemiah was a man with right motivation. Nehemiah didn't do anything to bring praise from others. All he wanted to do was pray, please his God. He didn't follow his own agenda. He followed God's agenda. He did it because God called him and God loved him and God equipped him to do it. His motivation was to please God and to bring glory to God. And one commentator says these words: his motive throughout his ministry was to please and serve his divine sovereign. His only reward would be God's approval. He didn't do things to be praised by people. He did things to bring praise and glory to God. I want to share with you a short story that I heard several years ago. And it's of a young trainee preacher who on his second or third sermon bounded up the steps of the high pulpit one day, full of confidence and cockiness, as he socked this sermon to the congregation. He thought his message was exceptional, and he couldn't wait to give it to the congregation. And he bound up the steps of the pulpit with that attitude in his heart, and he gave it to them both barrels. And as the sermon progressed, he could tell the congregation weren't really connecting with what he was saying. He ended his sermon and in a depressed way took the steps down from the pulpit, plonked himself next to the minister who was assessing the service. And afterwards he said to the minister, "Why did it seem to fall so flat?" And the minister said to him, "If you'd gone up into the pulpit the way you came down, you'd have come down the way you'd gone up." In other words, God didn't bless what he'd done that day, for there was too much of him in it. Our motivation to do God's work starts and stops with God. Not you, not me, not anyone else, but God. There is no space for egotism in the kingdom of God or in the church. It's not about me. It's not about the elders. It's not about a dog collar. It's not about what training we've had, what qualifications we've got. It is purely about our motivation to please God and to do his will. So may we, like Nehemiah, be people of responsibility, vision, prayer, action and cooperation, compassion, people who triumph over opposition, and people with right motives. May we, like him, step into God's agenda, work with God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to do that which God has called us and equipped us to be, for his praise and his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that in Nehemiah we have an example of someone who was faithful to you and triumphed in the world in which he lived and served and worshipped and worked. We thank you for the gifts that Paul talks to us about in 1 Corinthians 12. And we thank you for the Jesus we read about in Luke chapter 4, who opened the scroll and read from your word, and the people were amazed at what was said, for those words struck them afresh. Lord, may your words strike us afresh in our church, in your church today, here in this place. For we ask this prayer in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.